T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The preacher and the teacher, Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
One, two out, the 2-2 pitch. Swinging the drive to center field. Jackie going back to the warning track by the fence, and this one's gone. Over the fence, into the bleachers, a 3-run homer for Anthony Santander.
2-2 first from Price to Broxton on the way. Swinging it, hammer deep to left. There it goes. Keon Broxton connect. 15 rows back in left field. It's a 2-run shot, and it is 6-2 for Baltimore.
The 0-2 pitch. Swinging a ground ball weakly to the charging second baseman. VR scoop slips to first, and this one is over. The Orioles roll over the Red Sox tonight. Final, Baltimore 11 and Boston 2.
Oh, yuck.
And I think it's gonna be a long time.
Hour number 2, Mustard and Johnson. Red Sox getting crushed by the O's last night, a rare thing.
Red Joe Sox didn't sound too enthusiastic.
He never is at the end of a Red Sox loss. Swing and a ground ball.
Small ball over.
The Orioles roll over the Red Sox.
Not a pretty one last night. David Price, war of words. That's been reignited with Dennis Eckersley over the last couple days. WEEI certainly never won to avoid that conversation.
Our lines are loaded, but I just want to throw these topics out there. Sometimes we get, when we're dealing with the calls, and we don't get a chance to talk about these other things at all. We know about Evaldi. That'll be interesting. Tyreek Hill and his girlfriend had to go through some scrutiny with the Kansas City Chiefs and the league of his 3-year-old son having his arm broken. I guess nobody really knows what happened except the 3-year-old son, and he certainly can't express that at this point, but he got a break, and he's still active. He's a heck of a player, but I just detest any type of behavior like that. And I wish the league could come up with a better ultimatum for some of these players who insist on walking on the wild side. I really do. I know it's hard with the trying to deal with the Players Association and coming to a meaningful agreement, but I really wish they would.
Well, the personal conduct policy the NFL has employed for many, many years. Many players have been suspended. Of course, Ray Rice never played another game in the National Football League. The difference was Ray Rice was past his prime when he beat up his fiance on video in that elevator. Kareem Hunt lives to play another game. He was suspended and released by Kansas City last year. He's been picked up by Cleveland. Who knows when Kareem Hunt's going to play again? And it looked like Tyreek Hill was headed in the same direction as his former teammate. First in April, the folks in Kansas City, the prosecutors in Kansas City, dropped the case. Then it was put back in place when they found a video, not a videotape, but an audio tape that had Hill threatening his fiance Crystal Espinal. But then they couldn't find, after a 4-month investigation, the NFL couldn't find enough evidence. So Hill, who was suspended by Kansas City, will be reporting to Chiefs training camp on July 26th.
No.
Your thoughts about that?
I can't. Well, it's hard because you can't prove anything at this point.
Thank
but
you.
I do think they need to really have a tight rule on. The Bible says avoid the very appearance of evil. And I do
that's
think
that's a little abstract, though. Appearance of evil and perception
saying,
and reality are two very different things.
Well, it's just saying walk the right line. Just don't you know, don't even get involved with anybody who appears to be heading in the wrong direction. It's just, you know, they're going to put the fear of God in some of these guys in such a way that they just realize they can lose everything from a bad decision or bad association.
Well, it doesn't seem to have prevented these stories from emerging on a regular basis, unfortunately.
They're not that bad, the percentage, and you consider how many players play in the league.
Right.
So, but it's still something you got to keep an eye on.
By the way, I don't know if Eamon was on the air or not when he contributed that last thing. Were you on the air when you said that, Eamon?
I was not.
Okay. Well, you can just tell us about Kareem Hunt since you mentioned to me off the air. You might as well share it with our listeners.
Suspended for the first 8 games of next year, eligible week 9.
Now, I'm wondering when the Browns come in, is that past week 9? Patriots and Browns playing at Gillette Stadium. And my son, Bryson, has been bugging me for months now. His two favorite teams on the gridiron and Foxborough, the Browns and the Patriots. I think it's in November, so it's past week 9.
It's week 8.
You're
just going to miss
him. Oh, well, he wouldn't be in game shape anyway, so you're going to miss Kareem Hunt, but we're going to see Beckham in a Browns uniform, and that will be interesting.
Many people are predicting great things for the Browns this year.
Yeah, I think it's difficult when we're weighing in on members of the Kansas City Chiefs as far as their off-the-field comportment, whether it's Hunt or Hill or anybody else, because we have a dog in the fight. Let's face it, Kansas City and the Patriots right now, they're the two best teams in the NFL. They're both in the same conference. Once again, for a third straight year, the Chiefs are playing in Foxborough. I don't understand how this works.
Used to be Denver. The Patriots used to have to go to Denver every year.
Yeah, and I know these things are worked out, and it's based on formulas and everything else, but once again, late in the season, I think it's a December game, Chiefs and Patriots, it's going to come down to perhaps the winner of that game determining who gets home field advantage in the AFC playoffs. Last year, it turned out, thanks to Dee Ford, didn't matter that they had to go to Arrowhead. With Tyreek Hill, obviously the Chiefs are a much more dangerous team. All right, 6-1.
The other quick subject.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
NFL, they're trying to expand to 18 games a season. You know, this to me is a very simple story. It's just to a point, how much money do you want to make? That's what it comes down to. I mean, even though the owners get unbelievable payoffs every year from the TV networks, which allows them to do the things that they do, and you just say, like, how much more is enough? Why can't 16 games be enough? I'm so puzzled by that.
Well, the crime is not the 16 games. It's the 4 preseason games, which
they don't want to lose the money from,
which season ticket holders have to pay for. So if you have a season ticket, you have to pay not for 8 home games, you pay for 10 home games. And guess what? The players don't get paid for those games. They only get paid for the regular season.
Right.
And on top, as you say, Larry, everybody knows now that they're a bunch of capitalists practicing socialism. They divvy up the TV money and all the merchandising money evenly, okay? So they're all rich before one fanny actually hits any seat in the National Football League. They don't need people in the stadium to make all kinds of money because of that TV package.
Well, and the revenue,
right? So
that they split up.
On top of it, if you have season tickets to the Patriots, and I'm not, you know, picking on the Patriots, any team, at least the Patriots don't have PSLs, those seat license things, which are absolutely ridiculous. But you're paying for 2 preseason games that are absolutely, utterly meaningless. So I would say 18 games, fine, but you got to bring, and obviously they only have 2 preseason games. If they go to 18, they'd only have 2. That'd be fine. But did you hear the wrinkle in this whole thing?
Mm.
That no player, you're going to go to 18-game season.
They're trying to.
No player couldn't play more than 16 games.
Yeah, I know.
No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. What does that mean?
It means that Tom Brady would have to sit out 2 games.
Tom Brady's going to sit out 2 games?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is going to sit out 2 games?
Is it going to be the game you're taking your son to?
Where are those games going to be? Are they going to be on the road? Are they going to be at home?
Probably split them.
You know, I know they have load management. That's the new word, the new buzz phrase in the NBA. And It certainly worked for Toronto last year. Their superstar played 60 games and they won a NBA championship. But you can't do that in the NFL, where every game obviously is Armageddon. Everything matters. Every week matters in the NFL. So I don't think you're going to see that in the near future, because if they do that 16, maybe they can keep the quarterbacks immune from that. Maybe every other player except the quarterback. How can you have a?
That's not fair to the quarterback.
But does Tom Brady want to sit for two games?
No
quarterback wants to sit for two games. I don't think any player wants to sit for two games. So they're going to have to work that out a little bit.
Ridiculous to me. Anyway, those are the other topics that are on the table, if you wish to comment on those as well.
Well, thank you, Larry Johnson,
for bringing those out.
You are very magnanimous.
Well, enough about your personal stories.
Don't you want to hear more about my trip to Boy Scout camp, watching Neil Armstrong on a black and white television?
I'm wild about that subject.
617-779-7.
It does explain a lot, though.
93.7. Here's David in Florida, right around the corner from Cape Kennedy, where the Apollo 11 crew took off 50 years ago today. What's going on, David?
Good morning. Well, I'm a little further south, good old Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, about 2 hours, I guess.
David, you got to calm down a little bit, though. You're really hyped up. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm sorry. All right. Well, first of all, you know, before I get to my real reason why I called about baby Alex, a little fun-filled random fact. Earlier in the week, I'm just playing around on YouTube, and I came across the old Larry Bird video. Remember the game when he scored 60 against the Hawks?
Yes. Yeah, that was in New Orleans. For some reason, they played that game in the Big Easy. Yep.
It was. Well, at any rate, I found this old video highlight of it, and it was a radio broadcast. But it wasn't the Johnny. It was the Atlanta broadcast on radio.
All right.
And do you happen to know, or who may have been doing the radio broadcast for the Hawks back in the early 80s?
It is far. It is wide. It is high. It is gone.
You got it.
Was it Mr. John Sterling?
It was Sterling. But
yeah.
I was waiting for him, like, to name the different Dominique dunks or the, you know, I mean, like.
Yeah, Sterling, for years, did the Hawks on radio and television. He worked for TBS back in the 80s, and didn't come to the Yankees, I think, until 89. He's now completely synonymous and identified with the Yankees. But he was an Atlanta mainstay for most of the 1980s. Yep.
What's the backstory of him going to the Yankees? Why did they leave?
Why wouldn't you want to go to the New York? Actually, the Yankees were terrible for many years in his early days. I don't know why he left, and he left television for good. Hasn't done television since, but he was both television and radio for Ted Turner back in the 1980s.
You did the Braves too?
Yep, did Braves games as well.
No kidding. Interesting. All right. But at any rate, back to more pressing matters.
Susan, by the way, was not down in Atlanta back in the 1980s, in case you want to know.
Rogers and George's box.
Susan was a Yav girl.
She's from Newton.
Yes, she is.
Yep.
All right. Cora, though. You know that you play, there's a sound clip from Cora last year that you play quite a bit on the radio when they beat the Yankees in that blowout game.
Said suck on it.
Yeah. Oh, tell me. I mean, that just makes me very nervous. Tell me what kind of manager, leader of men, would go on the radio and talk like that? I mean, could you imagine Belichick saying something like that, or Brad or Steve? I mean, what kind of person? Sounds like a 16-year-old kid.
No days off.
That's not what he said. But he also said Yankees sucks and everything else. But listen, David, I am not, and I appreciate the call. I'm not gonna criticize Alex Cora. I know it's been a tough sophomore year. He's got the old sophomore jinx as the manager, but this guy did everything right. I don't remember, you know, when you win 108 games in the regular season, 119 all told with the postseason.
Well, how do you feel about this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's learning how to be a manager this year. Last year, everything that possibly could go right did. I'm not saying that everything's gone wrong, but now is, you know, where the learning curve begins.
Check.
Exactly. 617-779-7937. Bob, you've been waiting patiently. Thank you for that. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, you know, when I saw this price thing coming back up, my first thought was, well, gee whiz, what a bunch of, you know, much ado about nothing. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. if he pitches well in his next few games, it's much ado about nothing. But if he doesn't, mm-hmm. then it looks like there's something there. And, man, after last night, you kind of beat me to the punchline, which, of course, would be yuck. Yeah, and it's all very sad, and the whole sensitivity thing is really, really kind of crazy. And you got to grow up. You know, this team, they may not be in the cellar, but to me, they're looking more and more like Sellers. I think the way...
Ooh, nice turn of a phrase there. Yes.
You see this thing going, and, I mean, look, I know Sale pitched a great game the other day, but... What can we count on? And when are they going to play all these games in a row?
Yeah, here's the problem, though.
We got three games against Baltimore. Here's an easy win. You know, here's some easy wins coming up. And we saw what we had last night.
Well, you know, they all this year, they've been beating up on the also-rans. That's what you're supposed to do. Any good team does that. And the Red Sox, when they've had successful seasons, have always taken care of business against those bad teams. That what they haven't been able to do this year, and this is what I worry about in the postseason for Red Sox Nation, is they can't beat any of the good teams. They started off well against the Dodgers, then lose two games.
But what do you count last night's game?
No, but this is the first time they've actually gotten bludgeoned. I mean, they've lost to bad teams before, but they take care of business against teams like the Orioles and Blue Jays, et cetera.
Two of the problems, obviously the closer is a big issue here, but two of the problems that don't seem to get, I mean, they get some airplay in the Globe and in the newspapers, but not always on talk radio, and one of them is length of the starters, and the second one is a total lack of clutch hitting. I mean, there was a good bit of it last night. I think twice you had Mookie Betts and Devers with men in scoring position not able to get that man in when the game was still...
Well, I think when you're, 8-9 games over 500 and wallowing near that 500 mark and playing inconsistent baseball, I think runners in scoring position is usually an issue. The teams, and I think it's probably the most reliable stat. Forget OPS and all the OPS and OBP and all those other stats and runs above WAR, runs over replacement, whatever that's called, wins over replacement. To me, it comes down to how do you hit with runners in scoring position. Any successful team does that very well. The Red Sox haven't been doing it this year. That's why, as much as the bullpen, you're right, is the primary reason why they haven't been as successful as last year. But I think there are a lot of other reasons, and I think runners in scoring position is one of them.
Well, all I can say is it was nice to see the new Celtics, and the Patriots are starting preseason. I'm almost ready to move on from this.
Well, I think everybody is.
Seven games behind the Yankees, but right. They are slipping in the wild card race.
Yeah, but you know what it comes down to, Bob? When you're that many, and people lose interest when you're that many games behind the Yankees, even though they have a realistic shot of getting into the postseason, when you're getting drubbed in the standings day in and day out by your number one rival, that definitely puts a damper on things.
I think you're right in one sense, but, you know, if we were moving up and getting closer in the wild card and showing that we could beat the Rays more consistently, then I'd say, well, at least we have a chance to get into the wild card. But, you know, it's interesting because if we do get into the wild card and if we do win that wild card, then the next thing that we do is go to Yankee Stadium and then we get our butts kicked, right?
Well, it could happen. They're playing a lot of teams. Thanks you for the call, Bob. They're playing a lot of teams. Not a lot of teams. They're playing essentially the Rays and Yankees over the next couple of weeks, two series home and away. And we're probably going to know a lot about the Red Sox after those 13 days against the Rays and Yankees.
I do think he brings up a good point, though. Playing in this town, people will forget you in a minute's time. They really will. They'll just move on to something else.
Well, you have so much to move on to.
Exactly.
When the Patriots go to training camp.
Patriots.
Have you been down to training camp in Foxborough?
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's a regular Sunday afternoon in the middle of the season. People can't wait.
You almost got a fight with this guy who told you to shut up and sit down.
Well, it was many years ago.
Was he a big guy?
Very talkative 13-year-old. Now he's 20, and, you know, you can get like three words out of him.
He wasn't that big. Why didn't you stand up to him?
I'm not going to, what do you mean stand up to him? I'm going to start a fight in the middle of Patriot training camp?
What did he tell you?
No.
Sit down and shut up?
No, my 13-year-old son was peppering me with a lot of questions about who's the best quarterback, who's this, who's that. And we're having this running conversation in the middle of training camp. And I don't know if you've been down to training camp. It's not exactly riveting activity on the field. It's,
no.
They're going through drills.
I used to wait for the horn to blow.
So apparently I was disturbing this guy by having this running conversation with my son behind him, and he turned around and told me to shut up because he needed to concentrate.
That's what he told you?
Yes, he needed to concentrate on this all-important activity that was happening, like on the third day of Patriot training camp.
So did you stand up to him?
I walked away. I said probably some ill-chosen comment and went to another section of the bleachers where we enjoyed the rest of the day.
What did your son say when he found out his dad was a mouse?
did you really want me to confront this guy?
If he told you that?
Let me see.
Why don't you shut up?
What would be the upside? Let's see. A teacher at Wellesley High School, an alleged personality on WEEI. I'm getting in a fight with a Patriot fan because I was talking behind him. Larry, I think discretion.
They have a medical facility down there.
Would be the
better
case.
I will fight you all.
Valor. 617-779.
Did your son say anything about you being a wimp?
He made no mention of it.
No mention?
No mention at all.
Probably because you stopped crying.
Now, if you were in that position, you would have confronted this guy and
I don't know.
In exchange fisticuffs?
I don't know. I have a horrible temper.
Why are we returning to something that happened 10 years ago?
No, because you come in here every week with just like so many different stories. My problem is picking out the one I can talk about. I know your mother listens.
Actually, she doesn't anymore because unfortunately.
Well, you made that comment about.
No. Unfortunately, the Providence station has a local show. Now,
oh, gosh.
For between 9 and 11, I'm not sure if that was something to do with us or not, so she can't listen anymore.
We're just crushing the competition everywhere we go.
I know. 617-779-7937. It's Mustard and Johnson until Mark with a C, Andy with a Y. It all happens at 11 o'clock. The fun and festivities right here on Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI, commemorating the 50th anniversary of the first moonwalk, Neil Armstrong.
What are your favorite songs?
I like David Bowie.
God, I think I'd have to go in the room and kill myself.
You don't like David Bowie? He's a genius.
I'm so depressed.
One of the great songs. This was unfortunately about a space accident. A song was actually written and first released, at least in England, in 1969, the very year, of course, that Apollo 11 lifted off from Cape Kennedy on July 16th. 4 days later, landed on the moon somewhere around 10:20 Eastern daylight time. Neil Armstrong uttered those immortal words, "One small step for man, one giant leap."
Mankind.
And it was a moment. I remember it well. Maybe you do too. 617-779-7937. It is John in Malden, sort of the Neil Armstrong of Mustard and Johnson. John,
well,
you're next on Sports
Craig.
Radio WEEI.
I hope we didn't keep you holding too long.
You did, Larry.
You felt like you were in one of those Apollo 11 capsules going around and around and around.
Larry, you kept me on hold too long. Meet me outside the station, will you?
Oh, you want to step outside?
Hey, by the way, John,
how you like the way Craig stepped down when that guy challenged him?
What am I supposed to do? I'm going to get into a fight with a fan because he didn't like because I was.
You said
talking?
He wasn't that big.
I don't care if he was a...
Was he Howie Sylvester type?
Oh, now you're getting personal.
No, I'm just asking a question.
Hey, John, by the way, I failed to have mentioned this. I am remiss in not including... apparently, there's a Hall of Fame ceremony going on tomorrow?
I believe there is.
My man is getting inducted.
Who is in there?
I believe it's Rivera.
That's the only one you need to know.
No, and the DH, Edgar Martinez, and...
Mucina. Is Mucina?
Mucina's in there,
Mucina
too.
Mucina, and another pitcher, Roy Halladay.
The late Roy Halladay, unfortunately, had a misadventure in a plane. So that will be kind of interesting for you Yankee fans out there.
That's right. And Before I get to the Yankees and the Red Sox, I do want to bring up another sidebar, Larry. Craig, did you happen to see what I thought was one of the greatest sporting events I ever saw last week?
Tennis? I didn't get a chance to see the final set because I was at a party, and my sister, who is a crazy tennis fan and a Federer fan in particular, she was texting her longtime partner back and forth. While we were at the party, she had no access to a television, and she was completely deflated.
What kind of a party was it that you have no access to a television?
Larry, you know, people can survive without television and screens, you know?
Yeah, listening to your moon story songs.
Exactly. Yeah. You go on and on, just me telling stories. They go, hey, now tell me more about where were you exactly in that Boy Scout Lodge? Yeah. So, she was very upset, and if Federer had won, that might have been the greatest win in his entire history, and he's the greatest player that ever played.
Absolutely, yeah.
He even had shots at Rod Laver in the stadium.
Yeah, and Laver up in, I think Laver was the greatest up until then. I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
I'm just saying, this thing went on for 5 hours. I was riveted to the TV from 8:45 till 3 in the afternoon.
It was unbelievable.
It was one of the greatest sporting events I ever seen.
I think the best I think the best I ever saw, because I saw the whole thing, I didn't get a chance to see all of Sunday, was Borg and McEnroe 1980. That was another 5-set tie-breaking in the 5th set. That was
an
epic
McEnroe
match.
You just wanted to tune in to see what he was going to do next.
But he and Borg respected each other, and I remember that match well. He did not engage in any of the shenanigans that he usually does. Anything else, John?
Well, I mean, I just want to say that the Red Sox are not going to make the playoffs, Craig. Okay, I know there's 60 games left. All right, but their schedule coming up against Tampa Bay and the Yankees. By the time they get to August 5th, okay, they're going to be deep in the doo doo. They're still going to be behind the teams they're already behind, but they're going to be further behind.
Well, what happens? Wait a minute, John. What happens if, say, they have 13 games against the Rays and Yankees over the next couple weeks? What if they win 10 of those games?
Well, that would be phenomenal. If they win 10 of the games, then they're in business.
Right.
You know, that's what they have to do.
Right.
Like right now, I'm looking at the standings, okay? The Giants just went 9-1, and Colorado went, like, 2-8. That's what you need to have happen. You can't go 7-3, and the other team goes, 5-5. That's not enough. You're going to really need – that's why I'm saying I don't think they're going to go 10-2.
Well, here's the problem.
Do you expect help from Eovaldi?
Larry, they got more problems than Eovaldi. You don't even – he's never even done it before, okay?
I'm thinking last year.
Yeah, he's not going to be the difference. He's just not going to be the difference. They're just finding ways to not win enough games. It's not about losing games. They're not winning enough games, and the teams that are ahead of them, like Cleveland and Oakland, are playing much better baseball.
Yeah, they're playing better baseball, yep.
The Red Sox schedule is brutal. The Yankees are going to smack them around coming up.
Well, they haven't played them. Wait a minute, John. They haven't played them at Fenway yet this year. Not that there are any great shakes at Fenway. Red Sox around 500 at home, much better on the road, but they haven't beaten the Yankees at all at Yankee Stadium. They have won, but they've lost both series. So I think it's obviously a crucial, critical 13-game stretch for the Red Sox. But if they do win 9 or 10 games, you know, they can probably scare a few people in the wild card race and maybe make the Yankees a little bit nervous.
Okay, but they played 100 games, Craig. They haven't gone 10-3 against anybody.
Right.
All of a sudden now they're going to do it against the Yankees in Tampa. I think you're reaching a little bit here. It doesn't look good. The writing's on the wall.
I don't think the starting pitching has been that consistent either, to tell you. It's not just a bullpen.
Oh, it hasn't. That's the whole point. The starting pitching hasn't been – the hitting's okay, but the pitching is just not there. Yeah, Chris Sale pitched a good game, but it's one in, one out. He pitches a great game, and David Price pitches a lousy game.
Yeah, but how did Chris Sale pitch against the Dodgers? He was terrible last weekend. Absolutely terrible. So he's been up and down. I mean, so he beats the Blue Jays. It was an impressive performance on Thursday. Nice bounce back game. But he was just absolutely terrible.
Yeah, he's not
against
been consistent
the Dodgers
at all.
Right. And that's the biggest Red Sox problem. On the other hand, the Yankees have been rolling along, beating everybody. They seem like they're a juggernaut, but I wouldn't trust their starting pitching in the postseason, John.
Well, no, I agree with you. That's going to be the question mark. I mean, Houston has much better starting pitching, but the if the Red Sox were the first wild card team, I'd say okay, let's see what happens. But right now they're the fourth team.
They got Oakland. They got Cleveland.
Right, and they got Tampa Bay's one game ahead of them. Okay, but they're going to play them head to head, so they can either make some hay with Tampa or dig themselves a deeper hole. And I they're the fourth team right now, and I don't see a change in too much in the future.
All right, John, thanks for the call. We go
thanks,
to
John.
Luke in Jacksonville. We're big in Florida these days. Luke, what's happening?
Well, we didn't expect anything positive out of John about the Red Sox. I mean, that's a given, so I'm not.
Well, why don't you come up with something positive? What do you see that's positive?
To write him off. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, Cora. I mean, like you said, and I was thinking about it. Cora's learned how to be a manager. I mean, they do have their problems. I mean, the one big problem I have is that he got Rick Porcello pitching today. So I mean, you know, you have David Price who goes out there, and you expect him to do a good job, and now you think Rick Porcello is going to ride the ship, but he's terrible. I think one of the biggest problems with them is they don't walk batters that can make danger for them. You know, you see guys like Gary Sanchez, or you see guys like Justin Smoke, and they wreak havoc with the Red Sox, and they consistently pitch to them, and they don't walk them. Last night, Baltimore played a great game because they were patient at the plate, and they worked the count. And the Red Sox need to do that more often. They don't work the count real well. They swing at bad pitches. They swing at the first pitch. And if you remember last year, once they got the lead, they didn't cough it up because they were patient at the plate. What aggravates me more is I see Brock Holt on the bench more times. And you have Mookie Betts out there leading off, and he's been choking for more of the season. And if you let Brock Holt play, you know, he's going to lead off with a hit. Or when he's doing well in a game, you pinch hit Sam Travis. And to me, that makes no sense.
Well, the other problem is putting Martinez out in the field. He wants to do it, but every now and then, you know, he has a...
Didn't look too good last night in the second inning.
Couldn't get the ball.
Essentially gave up an inside the park home run. They called it a triple and an error.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I just happened to look up at the TV when they were doing advertising. You know that Chavez fight tonight is $74?
And now let's see. Whose house are you going to go over to see that tonight?
Well, my grandmother's dead. My mother's dead.
When your mother was alive, you used to see all those big fights at your mother's house.
I don't think the 74. I would make her do that. That's ridiculous. Next thing, it'll be $100.
But I'm not doing that. I think that that fighting has been reduced to a niche sport. I mean, if you like it, fine. Get the pay-per-view going. But the average fan pays
$74?
I mean, if you're a fan, I guess you're going to pay that kind of money.
No, I'm not.
But, you told me off the air, aren't you going to see the fight? I said, what fight? I had no idea there was even a fight. I think, unfortunately, that's where prize fighting has gone.
I think they were right in hockey, though, to kind of take fighting out of the game. I must admit.
Whoa, wait a minute.
No, Andy, I love fighting.
Eamon, I need new headphones. These headphones don't work because Larry Johnson just said that he was happy to see fighting out of hockey. Is this the same Larry Johnson who has been complaining about the lack of fisticuffs?
I wouldn't say I was happy. I'm not happy about it, but at the same time, the brain damage effects and stuff, long range.
Well, we understand now with concussion.
Now I understand why you cowered out of
exactly
down at training camp.
Very concerned about
you didn't want that guy's fist hitting your head.
Imagine me doing a show with a concussion. Can you imagine how bad it would be?
I wonder how you do it sometimes. On the ice, then beat him with your fist.
There you go. Thank you, Eamon. 617-77. He's such a fraud. We have a final segment of Mustard and Johnson coming up right after this.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Intense, silent, as she walked in the room.
There you go. 617-779-7937.
I missed that. Was that about me?
It might be.
Okay, I wouldn't be surprised. They have a whole file on me back there.
It is Mustard and Johnson. Waning moments, lots of calls to get to between now and Mark James, Andy Hart at 11 o'clock. We begin with Big Al down in Georgia. What's happening, Al?
Al!
Good morning, boys.
Al, how's the heat?
It's okay. It's actually pretty moderate right now. But I want to just, I know we're running out of time. Real quick, 50 years ago, I was at Fenway when they announced that the LEM, the lunar module,
had landed.
The Eagle had landed on the surface of the moon. 8 to 10 minutes standing ovation. Ray Culp was pitching.
Oh, I love Ray Culp. One of my favorites. Yep.
He just couldn't believe it. He sort of sat behind the mound and looked up at the stands, and it just wouldn't stop. It was
wow. But you know what was weird about it, Al? I know they landed at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It took them six hours to leave the module and touch down on the lunar surface. What were they doing in those six hours?
Honestly, Mustard, I think it was even longer than that. I mean, I'd have to do the Googling or whatever, but I think I remember getting up at, I was 12 years old, but I think I got up at like 2, 3 in the morning.
No, it was 10:20. I looked it up last night because I saw this documentary on PBS, and they showed a scoreboard clock at Yankee Stadium and fans at that game, Senators and Yankees, standing up and cheering, and it was 4:20. So I don't remember it 4:20. I remember it at night. They landed in the afternoon, Eastern Daylight Time, but it took them 6 hours to actually touch down.
Were they trying to figure out what to do?
I think they were supposed to actually do it the next day, but Armstrong got so antsy about getting out there, they said, screw it, let's just go out.
Wow.
Yeah, it was two different events, that's the thing. There's the landing, and then there's the walking on the moon.
Tranquility Base, the Eagle has landed.
But anyway, a quick question. It's too early to predict, I know, but I'm going to ask you anyway. If you guys had to predict what, if anything, the Patriots are going to do with tight end, what would you be willing to say now?
They got that rookie, Cotto or something like that. I guess he's, you know, he's got pretty good hands. And, he, you know, I think that Watson, obviously, they'll wait for his 4-game suspension.
Right.
And, you know, the way they design that team and everything, I don't think they'll depend on the tight end as much as they do now and just hope maybe Gronk will come back after 8 games.
Do you really believe that Gronk is going to come back?
It's hard to
say. That bye week
is wild.
You got to admit that, fellas. That bye week is going to be, you know, Gronk watch 24/7.
Right. Although, you know, listen, you know, Gronk was instrumental in spots last year. He certainly made huge catches against Kansas City and the Rams to set up touchdowns. But they've won without him. They'll find a way.
Right.
You know, as spectacular, maybe the greatest tight end ever, probably is the greatest tight end ever. But, I mean, they're going to find a way. I don't think that the success of the Patriots rests with Gronk's return. There are many other ways the Patriots will win in the coming season.
Have a great weekend.
All right. 617-779-7937. It is, let's see, I'm just going, it looks like Danny and Quincy is next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Danielson.
Daniel, what's going on?
Oh, the humidity.
Well, not wait a minute. Not everyone gets to sit out in the middle of Buzzards Bay with a nice ocean breeze behind them in this palatial yacht that you have.
Danny, should I come down?
Craig. Oh, it's beautiful down here, man. The wind's right off of Buzzards Bay. But hey, I just ran 3 miles, Craig.
What?
I just ran 3 miles. Now, if I hang up on you, just send the Undertaker, okay?
You are seriously a madman to go out in this weather.
Yeah, I know. I try to go every day, Craig, you know, but it's a little better down here. The wind's off of Buzzards Bay. It comes right up my backyard, right up. It's beautiful. But anyway.
Maybe I'll come down, Danny, have a boat ride.
How about a little sea cruise?
I've been asking you for years. By the time you come down here, we'll both be in the ground. You know what I mean? So.
Well, at least I don't have to worry about the boat sinking.
Yeah, you know, I know Callahan and Minahan hated my guts, but, man, do I miss Callahan in the morning. I'm telling you. I mean, opposing point of view, two opposing points of view on the radio is what you want. And now it's all homogeneous. You guys don't.
Wait a minute. Greg Hill is coming to the rescue in a couple weeks.
You guys don't even fight anymore. Do they, the word argue.
We fight with you.
Now. I know that, but you guys used to fight with each other.
Yeah, Larry ran out of steam. Larry ran up the white flag. He surrendered.
After I saw the way...
I reduced him to a pile of
after
rubble.
After I saw the way Craig responded to that guy at the Patriots training camp, what's the sense going after him?
Anyways, you know, I said it at the end of last year. Chris Sale and the Red Sox would have helped each other tremendously if they had just asked Sale to be the closer. I said it at the end. He started his career in the bullpen. It would have saved him over. He hasn't pitched over 200 innings. What? He's been in the league 9 years. 4 times he's pitched over 200 innings. The guy is a basket case on the mound. They should have made him the closer. They've lost over double-digit games when they and the other team's last at bat in the last 2 innings at bat of the opposing teams. How many blown games have they had this season? Not that it would have made any difference. I think the team is morale-wise.
Yeah, I believe me, Danny. I understand exactly where you're coming from. The bullpen is an issue, but there's so many other issues on this team, and this guy, I'm sure, is shedding no tears over that. Mike from Canton is next on Sports. I'm surprised you're not up in Cooperstown this weekend.
I know. Well, Craig, you know, it's a beautiful place. I haven't been there in forever, but it's a beautiful place. I wish I could go.
I was up there a couple of years ago. It is spectacular.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. It really is. But, yeah, the great Mariano will be inducted. It's just terrific. First, only guy in the history of the game, unanimous, by the way.
And he should be.
And he should be. Oh, yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you know, really, when we think about it, he is an immortal. He's up there with Ruth and Garrigan Williams and all those guys.
Ironically enough, we were just talking about this off the air, Mussina would have a World Series under his belt if Mariano wasn't so mortal in a certain Game 7 out in Phoenix back in 2001.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he threw that ball away. But what are you going to do? It happens. I mean, hey, Chapman blew a game the other day. It happened.
That's a surprise.
I know. But
I'm not that wild about him.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's wild. I hear you, Larry. I hear you. Hey, Larry, I was thinking of you. That guy Garcia was jawing with CeCe the other day when CeCe was on the mound, but he wouldn't charge the mound.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
He was yelling at him from a distance, Larry.
Well, let's see. CeCe's what?
That's the only way to do it. 6'7", 350,
something
right,
like that?
Right, right. You're not charging the mound with CeCe.
No.
You're not doing that. No. But anyway, no, John from Walden stole my thunder. You're not going to have two wild cards from the AL East this year. Forget it. It's going to be one. So the Red Sox have to finish ahead of Tampa Bay. They have to.
I guess the way the schedule works where, you know, you're playing 19 games against the wild card contender in your division. But, you know what? I don't care what you say, Mike. And, you know, you guys can pronounce the Red Sox dead and everything else. I still, as a Yankee fan, would worry about them in the postseason.
I'm not pronouncing them dead. I'm saying they have to finish second. They can't finish third in that division.
Right. And if they finish third and they have to play the wild card game on the road, that would probably spell doom.
You're not hearing me, Craig. You're not going to be too wild.
Oh, you don't. Okay. With Oakland and Cleveland. Yeah, and Minnesota playing well this year. Yep.
You're only going to have one wild card from the East. So they head-to-head, even though the head-to-head games with the Yankees are important for the Red Sox, they always are, the head-to-head games with Tampa Bay are even more important. They can't lose to Tampa Bay.
No question about it, Mike. Appreciate the call. Let's talk to John and Gardner, our closer. That's what the Red Sox need.
What are you going to do with Tony?
John and Gardner. We only got 2 minutes left. Well, I can't get everyone in.
Give John a minute.
Okay, make a point very succinctly, John. I know that's difficult, but do it.
You know that's my strength. Hey, Larry, I used to work with a bunch of guys like you that were looking for the slightest slight to go down and be disrespected. You gotta handle that. You gotta fight. You gotta stick up. And those guys, you know where they keep winding up?
Yeah, on the radio station.
Hey, was there any doubt when David Price started flapping his yap that he was going to stink his next game? That's the first thing I thought.
You know, this guy.
He's always going to throw a stink bomb his next game.
He's so predictable.
No, he is very predictable.
An example of how was the right side defense last night with Vasquez and Chavis over there? They're weakening themselves in the defense now, trying to get.
And then you got Martinez in right field.
Yeah, forget the right side. Forget about the Martinez out there. Ridiculous.
I know. Okay, so I know you. Here's the thing, John from Walden. You inspired me, brother. I know you're a Yankee fan, but Tuesday night I said, "That's it. I'm making the call. They're not gonna make the playoffs." And then I was wavering, but John inspired me to man up. Craig, they're not making the playoffs. They're
all
just
right.
Too up and down and around and about. And mark it down on Tuesday night. John from Gastor.
Listen, sorry I got a minute here, but You know, Greg, don't say about the Red Sox emptying out the farm system, because they haven't given away no Bagwell. They had Espinosa, Ventana. They haven't given away. And I'll tell you what the Red Sox need. This is exactly like 2004 when they traded Domar. People said they were, you know, they were treading water and they needed a big trade. And that's exactly what they need right now. Even if they have to give away like a Porcello or something, but you pick up an Abreu, you could be a buyer and a seller at the same time, my friend. And this is exactly what this team needs.
So what's your trade?
Wait, Larry, this hundreds of, if you want to go get Bogarts, maybe you have to give away a young guy or something. But the bottom line is, this team is first in hit, first in OBP, first in run scored. It's not like a lost season right now.
I know.
Do you remember 2004?
I remember it well. They made that big trade, Tony, and
Tony,
the rest.
Go call earlier next week.
History. Well, happy 50th anniversary to NASA and all the great people in the space program.
I
thanks
gotta
to
get
AM.
My underwear out the freezer.
That's right, per yeah. Dale Arnold. Right?
Yeah, it's his idea. It's great.
Well, stay cool, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.